Bill Flores joins us this morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Scott. Great to be on News Talk 1620.
Yeah, I want to harken back. I think maybe since we've talked, you were out there tweeting that you're not even sure that you're covered under the DC HealthLink marketplace deal, huh?
You know, and I still don't know. I never could get a confirmation of any that my enrollment was completed. So the payroll people in the house sent me a screenshot, and then the folks, the customer service folks from DC HealthLink sent me the congratulations screenshot. But I don't know. I haven't received a confirmation. It says you've been covered. You need to send in your first month's premium, and here's what your coverage is. So I don't know yet.
Okay, like so many other people. Well, or they could just debit your account early, which apparently they did earlier this month as well, which probably upset some people.
Yeah, they did. And on the we've got a letter on the campaign side coming out talking about more of the challenges from Obamacare on that side.
However, he has some gurus of the high-tech industry into the White House today. Maybe he'll be able to get some insight there, and it'll help out a little bit.
Yeah, maybe so. We'll see.
Anyhow, now let's talk for a minute about the legislation that you introduced yesterday to help veterans.
Yes. Back in early November, we held a field hearing for the Economic Opportunity Subcommittee of the Veterans Affairs Committee, which I chair. And we held two field hearings, one in Riverside, California, and one in Waco. And during the one in Waco, we had several folks talk to us from state agencies, from higher ed, including A&M and Baylor, and then also from the private sector. And as a result of what we picked up in those hearings, we came up with an idea that we could introduce legislation that would help veterans become entrepreneurs, primarily by focusing on franchising. And so we introduced a bill to make it easier for our vets to become entrepreneurs through the franchising space.
Now, from that standpoint, what do they have to do? They have to go in and apply for funds beforehand? Can they already be up and running? What basically would you like to do there?
Essentially what it does is it removes some of the red tape that's involved in terms of getting veterans benefits to help start a business. But then the most important thing that it does is it gives them a tax credit for the cost of the franchise fee. In some cases, these franchise fees cost tens of thousands of dollars, and lets them have a tax credit for part of that cost on their next annual return.
Gotcha. Bill Flores joining us this morning. All right, now what's the congressional calendar look like now when you get back together?
Well, here's what I think will happen. Now, again, the majority leader is going to determine what we talk about, but I'd like to see my Veterans Entrepreneurship Act hit the floor sometime in the first quarter of the year. Immigration is something I still think we need to take a look at on more of a piece-by-piece basis. We've got to queue up and pass another budget for FY 2015. Then we're going to start doing appropriations immediately for the budget deal that just passed last week and for the fiscal year 2015. The Intelligence Act expires. We need to reauthorize that in light of all the disclosures that have come out about the NSA and the judge's ruling yesterday. I think we need a pretty significant rewrite of the Intelligence Act. We also need to look at the renewable fuel standard. And we've got a debt ceiling. We're going to hit the debt ceiling sometime early in February, so we need to look at that as well.
Well, now, when you say change that, because the judge's ruling is basically what he seems to be against, as I read it, is just these blanket moves that the government would take to capture information. How should that be rewritten so that the American public can feel comfortable knowing that the government's not necessarily watching every move or listening to every call?
You know, I really don't know at this point how to rewrite that, just shooting from the hip. I think we need to have some hearings from everyday people who have had their phone activities monitored. We need to talk to the intelligence agencies to see what they need in order to keep the country safe to be able to avoid another 9/11. And so those, I don't have an answer for you off the top of the head. I will tell you that I don't want to go back to where we were on September the 10th of 2001. On the other hand, I sure don't like the way that the NSA is behaving today. So we've got to see if there's some way that we can protect our constitutional rights and also our right to privacy at the same time, make sure that we're held safe. And I just don't have a good answer for you on that.
Well, the government, we assume the government's going to appeal the ruling. But, I mean, how do we as Americans feel comfortable knowing that our government goes ahead and does something and then waits for the court system to tell them to back down on it?
Well, we don't feel comfortable, and that's the problem. Is that you know, the law that they were initially using to start the wiretap process back under the Bush administration was never intended to go as far as they've gone. And even under the Patriot Act, in my reading of the Patriot Act, the two provisions of the Patriot Act that remain, they were never entitled to go as far as they have. And so we need to greatly restrict what they do. At the same time, we need to make sure we don't go back to a pre-9/11 intelligence blindness situation.
Sure. Well, all right, so that basically gives us our calendar. Now, when do y'all go back into session? When does that happen?
On January the 9th.
Okay.
January the 7th.
January 7th. All right, so we've got that happening. All right. Well, we want to wish you and yours a very very Merry Christmas during this season. Look forward to talking to you as we get ready to start up the next session in January. And I guess I'd like for you to comment just on the idea that you were able to get together and have a budget plan. Is that the holiday spirit that settled in on Washington and caused that to happen?
Well, I certainly wouldn't call it the holiday spirit. I think I would view it as more of a hold your nose and let's have some pragmatism in terms of trying to avoid having the uncertainty, trying to reduce the level of uncertainty coming out of Washington. That budget deal was far from being a perfect deal, but again, when I looked at what happens if you have a no vote and the no vote wins and there's a particular outcome for the federal government, for the American people. If you have a yes vote, there is a particular outcome for the American people and for the government. And I felt like a yes was a slightly stronger, slightly better situation for the American people than a no vote. Now, there are a lot of emotions on this particular bill, but I think for it does. I'm going to spend a little time on this for a second.
Sure.
There are four good policy reasons that a yes vote, I think, was the right vote, and then there's a good political reason. The policy reasons are that it reduces our deficits. And that's in line with my conservative principles. It begins to look at fixing some of the mandatory spending programs that we have in the federal government. That's in line with our conservative principles. Number three is there are no tax increases. That's conservative. Number four is it helps fix the problems with military readiness that are huge right now that have been caused by a combination of short-term continuing resolutions and the sequester. The sequester is really, it's chopped our military size by over 100,000 uniformed personnel. So we have to deal with that. So those are the policy reasons that I voted for it. The political reason I voted for it is because, look, the primary thing on Americans' minds today is Obamacare. And the last thing that we need to do in the House of Representatives as conservatives is to cause that attention to shift over to another government shutdown like we had in late September, early October. That's got to come off the table, and this budget deal takes that off the table.
Well, far away in Texas from inside the Beltway, the budget the government shutdown for many people sounds good. They like that. We know that that's not good, but Obamacare does land on just about everybody's doorstep. There's no doubt about that.
That's correct. Everybody's feeling Obamacare. Even me, as we've talked in earlier times, yeah. I feel it. And, you know, I don't like the way it feels for me. I don't like the way it feels for the typical American family.
Sure. Well, have a good holiday season again to you and yours and your staff and family, and we'll look forward to talking to you in a couple of weeks, okay?
Well, I'd ask all our listeners to have a very Merry Christmas and happy holiday season. Please remember to pray for our military men and women and our first responders during that time.